Hey guys, Jared D. King here. I just wanted to start this episode off by saying how sorry I am that this is late, number one. And number two, my mic was off during this episode, so I had to kind of like double up on my audio. So the audio is not at the best place. But, you know, just thank you for sticking with me. And it's still going to be an enjoyable episode. So, just please forgive me for some of the mess ups here, but I think you're still gonna enjoy it, so have fun. Welcome to the Boyfriends Podcast, where we help you find your circle
and your man.
I'm Jared D. King. I'm here with Noelle and Greg, and we have Renee back for this episode.
We missed you, girl.
Hello.
I know. And we also have a special guest, Susan Mitchell of Be Single No More. Hello.
Hello. Thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
It is so nice to have you. So we are going to talk today about dating fatigue. But first, why don't you let us know a little bit about you and Be Single No More?
Sure. So Be Single No More is a Philly-based and LGBTQ plus speed dating singles company in, like I said, in the Philly area. I started in 2018 and I've had about 113 speed dating events. Wow. So, and a couple singles parties mixed in, okay. And they're a lot of fun, great way to meet new people. And, I really enjoy, you know, hosting them.
Yeah. No, I've been to two of them actually, and I really enjoy the ones that I've been to. And I still don't have a man, so I'm going to have to be coming back very soon.
Come back. You know, it's always new people. I get return business, but also always new faces, which is always exciting, you know, people that move to the area or move back. So it's a lot of fun and it's a structured way to meet people. You don't have to approach anybody, I 5-minute dates and rounds. So,
yeah. All right. Well, we're going to get a little bit more information about Be Single No More as we continue this episode. But Renee, why don't you give us a little update on what's been going on?
Oh my gosh. Honestly, not too much. Anything like new, just moved to Fishtown about 6 months ago, really enjoying it. I only have like 3 friends left in my life, which honestly, I'm like not even that mad about. I've just been keeping my peace and, as always, eating as much cheese pizza as I can get.
Well, look, it's interesting because we had that episode about like friendship breakups and stuff. So you've kind of had a little bit of a shift.
I've definitely had some friendship breakups. Aww. And now the exes are trying to come back into my life, and it's kind of weird. Okay.
It lets you know that you weren't the problem.
Thank you.
If more than one is coming back to you, I'm just saying there's something there.
Like, honestly, even with like whether it's like friends or relationships
or neighbors.
Wait, what?
That's an inside joke. Well, we'll get to that at some point.
We'll get to that. All the exes seem to always come back. So you're right. I am not the problem.
Sure.
Oh, the shade.
So anyway, let's get into our topic. Have you experienced are you experiencing dating fatigue?
So like, how would you define dating fatigue? I think that would be a good way to start, so we can all make sure we're on the same page.
Well, my understanding of it is, and Susan, maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong or if you have like a different viewpoint, but dating fatigue is like you go out on so many dates, stuff never really picks up, and after a while it just feels like, well, why am I doing any of this? And well, I might as well just not even be trying or something like that. I mean, would that pretty much sum it up, do you think, Susan?
Absolutely. You know, most people that come to my speed dating, you know, a lot of them have been doing the online dating or even blind dates and things. And it's just, you know, they spend a lot of time and energy trying to even attempting to go out on the first date to get people in person. And that's why speed dating is great, because everybody's in person. There's no, you know, you meet 20 people in a night, that would take months to do that through online dating and the back and forth conversation. And, you know, people get concerned about who people really are in person. So they just want to try something different, and that's absolutely what dating fatigue is.
Yeah. And so I will say that I think I have experienced that before, where you know, I'll go out with people once in a while. It always ends at a first date. It never really ends up being anything more or anything, you know, past that. And it gets frustrating. And then you feel like, well, maybe something's wrong with me, or, you know, then, you know, there's a danger of getting into that self-talk. Have you guys experienced that at all? Or I know you're not currently dating or looking for anyone or like...
Whatever. I've never actively... Oh, yes. So for new viewers, I am actively single. Not actively single. I am single. I'm not actually actively... looking to date, but I'm not opposed to dating. I'm kind of in a like, I'm doing me. I'm focusing on myself, my needs. It's the best. I'm taking the time. That being said, like for me, it wasn't like exhaustion in the way that you had it. A lot for me, like I feel like I actually don't go on a lot of dates, to be honest. Like I have a hard time getting to the date. For me, when I was on like dating apps like Hinge and stuff, like I have a very active, my frustration and exhaustion is like that people just don't respond, or don't, when they do, they don't carry a conversation. For me, I would say 99% of messages, I will match, because everyone just, I'm not there to sit and collect matches. Mm-hmm. And my kind of formula, if you will be, I will always initiate the message. I will find something in their profile to relate to or comment on, mm-hmm. send that, and then end with a question. Because yeah. then it prompts them. They know. I know people are just like flying through and not reading. I'm not going to fault people if they're not reading my profile. But at least when you see we match, then maybe it's a good time to take a look and be like, okay, maybe we weren't a match. Unmatch me, that's fine. Mm-hmm. But like I would say 9 out of 10 messages I send when I was on apps, I would not get responses on. And I was like getting frustrated because I was like, I know I'm putting effort into this. I'm not just saying, hey. I'm trying to find something about you to connect to, and then also prompting you to respond to me with a question. And like, yeah. that's too much. Yeah. So I've definitely gone through waves of like, I'm ready to, I'll do that. And then I get exhausted. I'm like, this is not worth it. It's not leading any efforts. I will delete or get off. And then maybe in another 6 months to a year, maybe like, okay, it's time to get back on. Like maybe I'm in a good headspace. And then it's the same thing every time.
Are those new gays in the city that moved in? Yeah.
So, Susan, like, what have you heard, or what has been your experience with, like, the, like, dating apps? Do people, like, and, like, how does speed dating provide, like, a solution to the constant messaging and not really getting anywhere?
Yeah, everything, you know, that exactly what you said, where it's a matter of, they'll back and forth online, staring at screens, match, you know, all that. When you're in person, you have that instant communication. It's, and in a lot of, you know, attendees that come, some of them are just like getting back in the dating scene. Maybe they were newly, you know, single, or they're not really sure, you know, they just want to meet people. And we do speed friending events too for the LGBTQ+, you know, speed friending for those that are just want to, you know, even stay single, but meet friends and see what happens. So I definitely agree with everything you're saying with the dating apps, you know, are an option. You know, a lot of people do meet people through there, but the speed dating is just, it's different because it's still in person. You know, you're talking to people 5 minutes and nothing's going to beat that instant spark communication. And it's just a very special way of meeting people. It really is. When you see it and when you experience it, it's you can even being in the presence as a host, you know, yeah. watching people come out of their shells, you know, smiling. There's a lot of energy you can't get through a computer or through a phone that you can in person.
So then is it just then a 5 minute like appearance thing at this point? Like how much can you possibly know in 5 minutes from someone?
From speed dating?
Yeah.
I don't think, maybe Susan can answer that.
Yeah.
I mean, with part of dating, appearance is going to, you know, matter, sexual attraction, you know, appear. I mean, that is a part of dating. That's how it is when people are on Tinder or Hinge, swipe, you know, you just see their picture. But like, that's the first few seconds. But then you get into 30 seconds or a minute, you hear how the person talks, you see, you know, their gestures, and even a few questions or an exchange. I think 5 minutes, you can tell if this is somebody that you want to know more about, you know, and you put yes, or you might at the end say, would you like to go get a drink? You know, it's like a pre-date. I mean, I feel you get that vibe in 5 minutes. I mean, I think it's even like studies 30 seconds and you can really, you like know, you know, if this is a spark.
As I said, I've done the speed dating before I personally am somebody who enjoys meeting people in person as opposed to trying to find dates online. The online thing just does not work for me. The texting, and I don't know, I just feel like when you go to like a speed dating or something like that, the pressure is off. It's just, we know it's only going to be 5 minutes, and it's just, let's just have a quick conversation, even if, you know, we're not necessarily physically attracted to each other, we can at least have a pleasant conversation and maybe walk away with a friendship. So I mean, I think that it's a good,
I was like, I think you're ugly, but I think you're a nice person.
That's so mean. Also, in networking, like, you learn things maybe I've had where they're not a match, but they know people that might be like, oh, my brother, my sister, my neighbor, my cousin. So it's just getting out there. And even for the speed friending, you know, you can still, you know, talk to people, you know, that's even more, you know, because that's your meeting friends. So that's nice, you know, and you still can know, like, is this somebody that you enjoyed these 5 minutes? Did it seem like you had things in common? So I do, 5 minutes can be long or short, but it's longer than sometimes people think. I mean, 5 minutes can, you can learn a lot about somebody and like, wow, that was a nice conversation.
What do you do when you're in this state of dating fatigue and someone tries to date you or pursue, somebody's interested? Like, you're kind of in a place where you're like, I'm really not interested in dating, like, it's just not working, but then somebody new comes along, it's like, hey, let's go have a drink. Like, what's your response to that?
I'll let you know when someone pursues me.
Oh. Is it like that for you, Kendall?
I'm not complaining about it. I'm just saying, like, I feel like I'm always the initiator. That's my experience.
Okay. Gotcha.
Or
Carla's was mine.
Someone I'm absolutely not interested in.
Got you.
I'm like, that's nice.
Yeah, no, I feel like I'm usually the initiator as well. I think, I don't know if that's just a strong personality thing or...
Well, that's not a bad thing to be an initiator. I mean, you make things happen in your life, no matter if it's dating or not. I mean, I don't, some people are the ones that are the, you know, that always reach out after they get matches. Mm-hmm. They reach out. You know, you got to make things happen. So I don't think being an initiator is always...
No, not at all. And I think that, I mean, you have to go after what you want. And we kind of talked about this a little bit in earlier podcasts, like just the tech of it all, like, I feel like changes some people's like ability to like communicate in person. Like, I feel like people don't talk in like bars the same way they used to. People are scared to go up to each other. So I think even with dating, it's come to like, well, I'm gonna like wait and let someone like find me, you know what I mean? I feel like for some people, they've lost or never learned the ability to kind of do that in person. So any substantial match I've ever made has been maybe through Instagram, but has been in person. Has it not been like through a dating app or Grindr or anything like that?
Yeah,
it's been, you know, in that first couple minutes, like whether or not you want to keep talking to him or not. So
you can't only know so much through a screen.
And that's the hard thing. It's like getting from the text, like even like, let's say we've magically found somebody that we have a texting, texting communication with. Now the
textual
trick is...
chemistry. Textual chemistry.
Textual chemistry, yes. And now the trick is to get us into the real world. And I feel like that's another hurdle, at least for online dating. And I know I'm like, I sound like anti-online dating at this point, but then that's
not
the case, but it's just like,
I'm pretty
really
online.
Hard.
I'm pretty anti-online dating too. I feel like I feel like online dating makes it even like more fatiguing at a point. Like, it's because you're just like you said earlier, of just like always like reaching out and like waiting for them to answer and then setting up a time. And then like you finally set up a time and you go on the first date and it's like not even that lit.
If they don't cancel.
Yeah, if they don't even cancel. Yeah, exactly.
Should we
but you
just
put
date?
That all away when you're at the speeding. And it's also nice to be, like Jared can even say, when you're there, these, you know, everybody that came out are generally looking, you know, they bought a ticket. They came to this venue, you know, to meet somebody. They're not just at home swiping. They really, you know, got, especially the post-COVID world, to actually leave your house, get dressed, go to an event. Like, wow, they're committed to, you know, at least meet new people. They're open, you know, they're single, you know, and that's, I think that that's half, sometimes half of it.
They're there with intention.
Yeah, which is a lot different than sitting at home,
right,
you know,
or whatever.
On the toilet swiping on Tinder.
Is that like an activity you do?
I wasn't sitting on the toilet.
Well, if you swipe while
Tinder.
Shitting, you're going to date shit.
You're just welcoming.
I was in my garden.
I was in my garden.
I was.
I was. I was on Tinder and just like in my garden, and Carlos was like, "Hi."
Oh, that's how. Oh, how peaceful.
Yeah, I was just like, I had it there. I wasn't.
Well, that's fantastic.
Thank you. Good, good for you.
Good for you. Really good for you.
I seem to come off a certain type of way for no one.
We know.
I'm sorry if you were offended by what I said.
No.
My other question was going to be like, if you are feeling the fatigue and the right person comes along, are you still going to be like, no?
I wouldn't say no.
I'd just be cautious. I don't think that I would say no. It'd be a very cautious yes.
I'm very cautious.
Like, yeah, very cautious. Like, okay.
I dated this guy once. I was cautious for a while, for like 2 months. And because I never actually dated anyone, I was then felt disappointed after knowing that like he didn't know what he wanted after 2 months. Mm. To give the excuse like, oh, I'm not really wanting a boyfriend right now after 2 months. And then gave me a whole sad story that like he was leaving, and then I find him still here.
Oh, that's
okay.
I found him still here in the city.
Oh my goodness!
So that was something else. Then that was he maybe knew what he wanted. He just decided after 2 months.
'Twas not me.
I'm trying to find a nice way to say that.
No, no.
Sounds like that what the situation was.
'Twas not I. I'm like that's completely
fine.
Like
I hate that because then like you get dating fatigue set in before you even like. Try to look for someone else like oh, okay that ended and you're just like
yeah
like oh my it's like the fear of dating fatigue almost
yeah.
Oh, I feel like you could be cautiously optimistic with I think that is the thing like you get so excited after one meeting or one date like you get a match I mean it's very exciting but I think sometimes people get too excited like you know it's nice but you shouldn't put all your hopes and dreams into one person get to know them more still focus on you and don't get yourself all wrapped up in the other person or the relationship. And that's where I think a lot of it, you know, if the other person can't meet that excitement, like until it's really been a while, like I know friends or even attendees where they get like a third date and it's like all the, you know, all in and it becomes a little too much too fast.
Yeah. Yeah. At that's me. And I am trying, I will not do that anymore. That is my commitment for 2024.
That's good.
It's like, you know, I've learned that I've had to be an intentional dater, but I also have to be fun. And I have to not be so serious. You know what I'm saying? Because I know that sometimes, like, if I'm excited about somebody and I'm, like, trying to, you know, check all the boxes.
Yeah.
You can't necessarily do all that and like nurture a new relationship. You kind of want to keep it fun as possible in the beginning stages.
Is your personality when someone's meeting you as a friend versus someone's meeting you as a date the same person? I feel like they're two different people.
You feel like I'm different meeting a friend versus dating.
Yeah. What are you?
I don't know. I might be. I don't know. I think with meeting new friends, I don't expect anything aside from just the general like mutual respect for each other. There is no expectation of I have to text you every day or I have to do this or I have to do that in order to, you know, be in a relationship, you know. And I feel like with dating, a lot of people feel pressured to, you know, send a good morning text or, you know, every moment has to be about this other person that I just met yet last week. And it's just not realistic. So to answer your question, no, I don't think I am the same person, but I am trying to be the same person.
Yeah.
See, that's what we want to hear. We got to make sure that we're getting the growth.
It's consistent throughout all across the board.
It's good you recognize that though and see that because with the speed friending versus the speed dating, you know, they ask, you know, I hear, you know, from people that have done both, you know, it's different because they're asking, you know, it's more with friends, you don't have to always agree, you know, you just want to go out for a drink. You don't have to agree on everything. Like but when you're dating, you know, do they want children? You know, you have to get more in the involved with the other person, you know, what are they looking for? You know, more about them personally versus a friend. It's more just like, oh, we can go get a drink. You know, you don't have to be so, they're just another, you know, another person, which is great. But I feel like it is more casual with the speed friending. Yeah. They're not, you know, with the dating is a different level because it's could be your person.
Could someone handle that in the same way as dating, to be kind of casual about it? Because it could manifest into something else later on if it's not so much pressure on it.
I think people should do the speed, come into the speed. I think at first they always seem nervous, attendees, and they put a lot of pressure, like they want to get a match, they want people to like them. And then when I say like, oh, you're just meeting everybody for 5 minutes, you know, it's yes or no, it's you know, I try and make people comfortable, casual, their conversations, you see the pressure, people are having fun, they're talking, they're like, oh, after they did one or two meeting, you know, date, you know, pre-dates, the pressure does go away. You know, it's a casual setting. It's not this intense. And they realize, oh, it doesn't have to be. Mm-hmm. Dating can be fun. Yeah. Like, yeah. Jared, you've been to the events. You see, like, they're fun. Absolutely. It's not so intense. And that's what it should be. Like you just said, like, it doesn't have to be so bottled in and emotional. Like, you can still treat the person. You know, like my sister met her fiance. They were friends first, really. They met online. But they really became friends.
Yeah.
First,
yeah.
they only saw each other every couple of weeks. They were very casual, like just friends. They built a really solid foundation. They didn't just become immediately coupled up and all intense.
Yeah.
They would go like days without sometimes talking to each other. And that was fine. It was not. So, and I think that is something that, like Jared was saying, it's not so intense so fast.
Yeah. I mean, I see.
My bad. I don't do that. I don't do that.
As you said, there'll be days without texting. Renee gave me a look and I was like, yeah. I mean,
there's a reason that I'm on a break right now, so.
No, but I feel like, you know, I have trouble with that sometimes. I feel like, okay, should I text them today to, like, let them know that, you know, I'm still interested or that I'm still here? Like, it's not necessarily, like, my intention of, like, texting somebody, even if it's, like, in quick succession prior, has been, you know, I'm thinking about you, you know, I'm invested, not like completely invested, but like, you know, I'm still here, I'm interested, and let's keep the line of communication open.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that can come off as like
needy.
Yeah, just like a little bit like, you know.
Yeah, I feel like we both have like anxious attachment style.
Oh, absolutely.
You should text with a purpose. You know, if you talked about something at the speed date or at a date, and you heard a song or you brought a conversation or something, and you text with a purpose and say, oh, I just heard that song, or oh, follow up on that, what we were discussing. You know, it's not just like good morning or I'm thinking of you so early on. It's more, there's a purpose behind my text. Like, oh, just wanted to tell you I found that on Amazon, or like, you know, or I found what we were discussing, you know, that is happening next weekend. Like, you know, even to tell them about an event, like I'm going to this.
Yeah.
If you want to come.
Yeah.
That's really great advice.
I think that's like key advice, actually, because texting with a purpose is.
Yeah.
I don't do that sometimes, so thank you.
You don't?
There's a purpose.
Like, I feel like in my head there's a purpose, but I'm pretty sure to like the person receiving my test is just like.
It's like, well, what?
Like, have you ever heard that like that TikTok sound where that kid is just like, last night I had a dream that I was ketchup and you were mustard, which is weird because usually you're mayonnaise in my dreams. That's me.
But I want to get those texts from you.
That's literally me.
Well, that's maybe a little later on in the maybe not like the second date.
Yeah.
But that's cute. But I mean, that's cute later on. And there's something like, I think some people overthink too. Like, you know, again, if you're putting effort and the other person's not, you have to recognize that. You know, it's a give or take. If the person's not texting you at all, you know, or not, you know, saying one word answers, taking a long time to reply, then it's like you tried. And I think that's great. You know, then you can't say you didn't come off as interested. You know,
Susan, you made an effort. I have a question for Susan.
Yeah.
Susan, is there a difference between like trying to make up a reason to text someone for like intentional? Like, what can I possibly say to like get him to think that I'm thinking about him? Like, what can I, is it natural at this point to just like,
yeah.
Well, I think like that's why even at the speed dating or when you're on a date, that's why like active listening, trying to, you know, don't just talk about general stuff. Try to really think about, hear the person, listen, not just think about your response, listen to them, you know, get to know them, you know, just not so just general conversation, like, you know, what music, even it doesn't have to be deep stuff, just like music, movies. So this way you have follow-up texts to say like, And, you know, just to say like, oh, I watched that movie recommendation. And then maybe you can talk about the movie in the in the text thread. Or I read that book. And shows that you listened to them. They recommended that. And now you have like a dialogue. You know, it's not just, you know, going back and forth like I'm thinking of you. Like, and that's nice. But it's like now you're having a text conversation. And it's not intense. It's about a movie or a show.
Yeah.
But you're having that connection. And you both are feeling it.
So do you think that like maybe asking the right questions and actively listening can sometimes help get you out of that dating fatigue, so it can seem more fun and like less of like a chore to find your person?
Yeah, it is, because it's like you just are building a friendship, a foundation. Yeah. You know, you can, when you talk about anything with somebody, the weather, movies, you can see their view on stuff just based off of even a generic question. You can learn so much, you know, how they interpreted something. Maybe you both watch the same show, but you can interpret it and you can get to know that person through. And there's so many signs. And it's just I have, because I do dating coaching too from a lot of my attendees before, you know, on Zoom, and they do good morning every day, but they don't follow up with anything, you know, else. Like, it's fine the next, you know, to say it was nice meeting you, you know, or I see we got a match, this is great, you know, like, and say, you know, oh, would you like to, you know, go get a grab a drink. I mean, that person said yes, why not, you know? Or if there is a festival or there is an event or a concert, but then you let it go. You know, you don't have to go. If you have a date set for a couple days from now, you might not have to text them again. You have a date set in a couple days. Yeah. You know, you have another, it doesn't have to be every day like, oh, looking forward to our date. You know, you don't have to do that. You're going to see them at the date. And then, you know, you just have to take it easy. I think when people say, looking forward to our date, and like, oh, what are you doing now? And all that, it's too much.
I think it's the same thing with friendships too. When you meet new friends, like me and my partner are trying to find new couples to like hang out with. So like, I feel that's a good advice to like not have to day by day be like, hey, excited to get together, blah, blah, blah. What are you wearing tomorrow? It's like we can just wait until we actually meet up to just like talk.
And even at the LGBTQ+ speed friending, couples will come to meet other couples. Mm-hmm. They rotate with, you know, the couples get one sheet and they can rotate, or they can go separate if they want to meet friends. But that's even with friends. It's with anybody. Give people some breather. It doesn't, just because we text and it's easy doesn't mean it has to be like constant. People have their own, still own lives, they have own things going on. This might just be, you know, like, oh, I like that person, but it doesn't have to be the whole day.
So what got you into this business with Be Single No More, and I guess the dating coaching as well?
Yeah, so my sister went to a speed dating years ago, and I just thought like, wow, like that's an actual thing in real life. Like, I just always saw it on TV. And I did work for a few other Philly companies, but they did a lot 20s and 30s heterosexual in the city. Mm-hmm. That's their market. That's fine. I knew that there were other people that wanted to date other ages, LGBTQ+, mm-hmm. other areas. So I'm like, I'm just going to start my own company, and let's get everybody, you know, to find friendship, love, you know. It's, you know, that's fine. They're doing that, but I'm going to start my own. And it's been great, you know, just to find, you know, even at the, like I say, like the gay community, like it's harder for, I feel for them, because you don't always know who is a lesbian, who is bisexual, who is gay. So when you're at these events, it's very nice. They see all the men or the women. Mm-hmm. Wow, everybody's interested in dating, interested mm-hmm. in women. And if it's an age specific, we know they're all under 40, or we know they're over 40. Mm-hmm. So to meet like 15 people that night, or 20 people that are, you know, looking for what you're, you know, came to an event. It's a special event to find that. Because there's so many I hear where they were interested in somebody, but they weren't gay, or they weren't open to dating. They were already coupled up, and they'll say, oh, you know, he's here. He goes to my gym, and I didn't know he was gay. You know, this is great. You know, now I didn't have to add, you know, it's just that's a very special thing as well, where it's,
yeah, it helps. It breaks down a barrier of communication that you, in outside of that, would be a little bit harder to kind of cross. But I also feel like there is, I don't know if stigma is the right word, but there's a little bit of a react. Like, I will say, like, when I told friends, oh, I'm going speed dating next week, there's always like this, oh, you're what? Oh, you're, that's interesting. It's like, it's interesting, but it's also, it's something I wouldn't do, but you know, it's like, it's one of those. So what is your response to people who kind of have that reaction to speed dating?
It's unfortunate that there is, because that's how it was with online dating too when it first came out. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, you made an online dating profile, or even before that, when people put ads in the newspaper, mm-hmm. you know, we're like, oh, like you know, I think it's unfortunate because I'm always so proud of people that came out and came to an event. Like, you know, I have friends that are single and they complain, but I'm like, oh, what are you doing to meet people? Oh, you know, I'm not doing anything this weekend. You know, they didn't make any effort to do it. You know, if you came to speed dating and you didn't get any matches, okay. So yeah. Nobody here, you know, was your, but you at least tried. You had a night out, you saw a venue, you met people. You have to try. It's fun. I don't understand the stigma with it really, because they're like, who comes to these events? People will say that. And people looking to date.
Yeah. Pretty much.
People looking to date or meet friends. That's who comes. Exactly.
If I went to your event and I met Jared, say we met each other, right?
Like a speed friending?
Whatever.
Okay.
Say I was single.
Sorry.
Jesus. And Jared and I hit it off. What's the next step after, like, who do we tell? Like, I think I like this guy over here. Like, what happens after the fact?
So I give everybody a paper and you put your name and your email on if you would like to provide your phone number. And you write down everybody you meet, and then there's a column that says yes or no, and you put, you know, Y or N, you know, yes or no. And you could have there's a notes column where, you know, you meet a lot of people. If you want to, you know, make notes about what you discussed or something to remember them by, you hand in that paper at the end of the night. And then later that evening or first thing in the morning, I email out matches. So, you know, if you pick Jared and Jared picked you, you would get each other's name, email, number, emailed to you. And you know, some people have all their matches, some people get one or two, some people, you know, and it depends how many you've picked. Like, if you're only picking one person, you know, that happens too, where they're like, oh, I didn't get any matches, you know. And if you hear that from somebody, well, how many did they pick? They might have met 15 people and they only picked one person. Mm-hmm. So they didn't get any matches, but they also only picked one person. Right. And it's fine, you know, if you only connected with one person, you know, that's fine. But, you know, again, you really need to, you know, think like a little, like, is there maybe somebody you thought you could have another date with, you know? Or, you know, keep yourself a little open-minded and not just be like, 'cause it's only 5 minutes too. Yeah. So you shouldn't be. So when I see there's only like one person they pick, like, that's fine. But I think out of 20 people, there was only one.
Yeah. Not gonna lie, I feel like that would be me. I feel like you'd be like,
one. Or none. Like, some people don't pick any, and it's like,
I'm going to be honest. That has happened to me. I was that person, but I'm going to be better next time.
Yeah.
Why?
You don't have to pick everybody, though. Some people pick everybody, or they pick a million people. I'm not saying that.
It's probably right. More open.
Like, you don't have to pick to people just to pick them. But I think, like, to just kind of think a little bit, because you met so many people, like, why weren't you? Mm-hmm. I feel like everybody, I mean, I'm not on the, but like, you know, seems like great people, you know, enough to at least meet, like, I'm not saying marry them, but like to just have another date.
Yeah. You know, I think part of it for me at that point was like, okay, do I see any kind of romantic relationship after this? And my answer to a lot of that was no. Did I meet some great people there? Yes. And would I have been open to having a drink with them afterwards? Yes, absolutely. But I think maybe if I were doing speed friending, I would have matched up with a lot more people. But I think my mentality.
Do you like when you see someone, you're like, I can't see myself marrying this person. You jump right. You can start doing like a whole fortune thing. Like, you jump so far. Like, I don't see it.
Yeah.
Same. Jared, we need to stop. We're bad people. We're bad people.
We will look together in our wedding portraits together.
It's like, I don't think you should view it as like, am I going to marry this person? I think it, would I like to continue the conversation? Would I like, and you see them in it, as you get to know people, their appearance might, I mean, this has happened, you know, to me where I didn't think they were for, but then you start to get to know them, their personality, your compatibility. It's like, huh, you know, you see them in a different lighting, in a different outfit, like hairdo.
I've met people where I don't think I would ever find them to be my type. But as I started to talk to them, like, wow, there's something.
They open their mouth.
I was not.
I was not being inappropriate for once.
Where are we going?
Keep it PG.
We've talked about that. Like, I think it can it can change your attraction to a person. Like,
he's not
my type,
but there's something about him that I find very charming, very interesting, and that makes me want to, like, get to know them more.
But you can be a 10 and have no personality. I don't have time
for real.
That. I'm not interested.
For real.
Or they're not a nice person. Or
Or they're rude to waiters.
They're rude to waiters.
When they tip 15%.
Dial it down a little bit. Looks are important.
But
they're not everything.
They're going away.
Absolutely.
If someone matches, like, this person has, like, 5 matches, right, in one event, how do they then handle all those matches? Do they have to now schedule their own dates, or do you, like, help them schedule that?
So I was just at our night out, and I saw Jared there on Tuesday, and I saw one of the attendees from a gay men event the week before, and he got, like, 5 matches. And I said, oh, how's it going? You know, he's like, I've been scheduling. I don't help after I send out the papers. My part is over, unless they did want to need dating coaching to help, you know, continue on that journey. But he's like, yeah, I've been busy. I've been out every night this week.
Expensive.
Yes.
That sounds so expensive. Dating is so expensive.
I have a second date with them, but just they're new to the city. I mean, it's great. One of them maybe, I think, turned into more of a friendship, but he's happy about that. Like, great, I made a friend. And they have a second date going. And it's 5 people to date. Like, it's versus an online dating where he's been on a year and he's never had 5 dates. So, you know, you hear, I mean, it's great. I mean, now they have all these, you know, and it doesn't have to be these long dates. It might be just an hour, you know, grab a lunch date, coffee, you know. It doesn't have to be this whole thing. That's another thing.
Do you recommend?
It doesn't have to be like a 3-hour date.
Do you recommend someone that maybe they have like 5 dates a week, if someone's like on a penny pinch, what are ways to like avoid spending too much money on like all these dates just to get to know someone?
Well, I think like a lunch date, I think grabbing coffee, I think a drink, I think, you know, maybe even going to a festival, you know, or getting, it doesn't even have to be like some restaurant, like, oh, I'm going to this festival. I'm going to this, this cool, poetry reading or this class, like something different, you know, where, you know, and you do just maybe grab something casual. I think those are like the best dates. You grab some hot dogs, you grab a drink. Yeah. It doesn't have to be like some 4-course meal.
Right.
So I have a follow-up question to that, Susan. What are your thoughts about people who think like they need like a formal date or nothing? Like if someone's like says, "Oh, I want to grab a coffee or I want to grab a drink," and in their mind they read that as like, "Oh, well, they're not that serious in me. This is just like a pre-date or a test date to see if they want to." You know what I mean? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, if you met them online dating and or even at a speed dating and they want to go grab coffee or a drink, I mean, I don't think there's anything, you know, wrong with that. Like, it's not like if it's somebody you met at work and you have had coffee with that person a lot or you've had a drink with them a lot, then you might want to do a little bit more for a date because you've really known
clothes
them
shopping.
For like a year or they're a friend of yours and keep it going. But if it's just somebody you met online dating or you met at a speed dating, why do they have to take you to the chart, you know, House or Olive Garden? Like, and if they are doing that, then it's kind of like, well, aren't you trying to get to know me?
Yeah.
And not like, what's the difference? Like, if I matched with somebody and they wanted to go get coffee or even take a walk, it's about getting to know. I don't care about the location. Let's try to get to know each other. That's the exciting part. Not going to a fancy restaurant. And you say a lot about that. Like, okay, so we can't go to Olive Garden or a chart hat. Like, I just want to grab some coffee. I just want to take a walk. Like, let's. Like, why does it have to be so?
It should be laser tag.
It's unfortunate that does happen.
Yeah. No, I mean, I also think, like, it's like we should try to lean into more, like, experiences versus just going out to dinner. Like, I feel like that.
I've done grocery shopping together.
I think that is. Unique. I did
my grocery shopping on Sunday, so do you. Let's go meet up at Wegmans and go shopping.
I would know. Seriously, my dream first date, like, I need to see if you can take down a bunch of 10-year-olds in laser tag. Like, I need to see if you have any mercy or not.
Honestly, on shopping, you learn a lot about somebody. If you go to Target with somebody, you know a lot about how they shop or in the real world. I don't want to just go to sit at a restaurant.
I've done groceries and clothes shopping with people to see what their aesthetic is, what the kind of fashion they like, the food they like. And then, you know, there's a lot of conversation piece comes with that stuff. So
we see a lot at a store. Like, you can, like, have a lot of conversations.
Like, ooh, I like that too.
At a store festival.
Right.
Oh, my body.
You'll find out if they're gluten-free or dairy-free.
Uh-huh.
Or
vegan. Or vegans.
Or vegan. Oh, no.
Like, oh, or a Disney person.
Okay. So, as we're closing to the end of this episode, I do want to ask everyone, like, their one, like, little line of advice to somebody who may be dealing with dating fatigue. What can they do about it? What would be the, what do you think they should do in order to get out of that space or to deal with that space?
I would say be consistent. The way you approach meeting friends, you should approach it to dating. Because eventually you are meeting your friend first, and then you grow into a relationship. That's what I did, and we've been together for 4 years now. So I didn't have any high or low expectations. I let it happen naturally. If I were meeting a friend, eventually, yes, there is a connection there. There is attraction, but, like, I did it in a way that, like, I made sure, like, I wasn't going to put too much into it. I was kind of afraid, but I allowed myself to let that person show me, to be consistent, and with communication, just, like, made me feel more, like, comfortable just approaching it in a way that I wasn't too much in my head about. I was just like, yeah, we're going to see each other tomorrow. Awesome. Then, like, one thing led to another, and then here we are. Mm-hmm. It's just, like, you can't lose hope if you're looking for love. And it's going to happen when it happens. It's so cliche to say, like, it happens when you least expect it, which is true. But at the same time, like, it also won't come to you if you're not open to it with a third eye either. Mm-hmm. So, like, just be more open to it and maybe just listen to people speak versus, like, looking at what they look like. Because they might look, yeah, the first thing you see is attraction in their face and whatever they're wearing, whatever. But some people are even hot or not, like, nice people.
Well, I guess first and foremost, if you're fatigued, the best thing to do is take a break. Like, you gotta take care of yourself before you can kind of throw yourself into a relationship. So I think be aware of that first and foremost. But I mean, I know for some people, like, it's a confidence thing. If you're, whether you're doing it online or you're doing it in person, like, some people are like, oh, like, don't want to approach a situation because of fear of rejection. My thing is, like, in my head, if I don't talk to them, they're telling me no. So the worst thing they can do is tell me no in person. Like, I have nothing lost. So, I mean, I would encourage people to, like, take that step, initiate it, because not everyone's going to. And like I said, obviously you can't in person as much, but, like, online, if there's something you know about them that you can connect with, try to lead with that. That way it shows the person that you're actually interested in them. Like, maybe they're in, like, an Eagles jersey, and I'm like, oh, so you like the, obviously that's a terrible example, but do you know what I mean? Like, I come up like, oh, I really love this blazer. Where did you get it? And, like, you know what I mean? Just try to connect with something other than, hey, or sup, or thought you were cute.
Right, right. I think my advice would kind of line up with what you guys have said. Definitely take care of yourself if you're in a space of feeling dating fatigue. But I also feel like when you finally get ready to date again, kind of go in with a strategy or go in with something to tweak so that you don't get back into that space.
Is that what you're going to do?
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do.
Nasty.
Noelle is coming for me today.
I'm not coming for her. Yeah. I'm not.
No, I mean, it is. I mean, I, you know, for me personally, it has been like, I'm going to be a little bit more fun and easy breezy, or I'm going to attempt to, because I can be very intense sometimes, but I'm going to try to, like, let things happen and let it be what it is and just enjoy the moment and not try to direct a situation in a certain way.
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, that's been my work and that'll be me moving forward.
Honestly, yeah, no, I with, again, with what everyone said, if you're feeling fatigued, definitely take a break, focus on you, which is like the, I know people hate hearing that sometimes though. It's like, oh, just focus on yourself, because it's like so generic, but like sometimes you kind of do.
Sometimes it's what you need to do.
Sometimes it really is like what you need to do, and just, you know, like at the same time, be open. If it happens, it happens. And when you're ready to jump in, try to have a different perspective. You know, like, don't just focus like, okay, well, last time this is what went wrong. Maybe focus on like, okay, well, what went right last time? Like, like maybe I should like focus on that. Like, what went right? And kind of maybe lean into that a little bit better.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Susan, do you have any final thoughts as to like maybe helping somebody that's feeling a little bit of this dating fatigue?
Yeah, everything you said was excellent. You know, like everything you said, like talk, think about what you did right, but also recognize what, you know, it's a give and take. It's a two person. There was things you could have improved, you know, improved, like Jared says, not going to be as intense. Or I think that's great to recognize that, because number one, yes, you do have to focus on yourself and your mindset, fatigue, you know, but at the same time, be ready and be open, you know, to still meet people, maybe take a break from the dating, but ready to meet friends, network, go out, you know, and still might meet somebody through that, you know, still always connection, getting out, meeting people, but then to recognize like, okay, catch yourself, or maybe have, you know, it's like a friend to like, you know, watch what, you know, even early on, like, oh, am I being too intense? You know, we always have, you know, sometimes a friend or somebody like, am I another set of eyes, you know, is this, you think good to get a dating coach, go to a relationship therapist, you know, see, you know, take that extra step with all that and see where you, you know, you don't want to go down that same path. But I think just being open, not get so in your head, you know, just because you're going to a speed dating or even an online dating, don't like, I have to meet my person tonight, or this is it, like I'm done. You know, it's just another event. It's another way to socialize and meet people, and just, and looks aren't everything. Like I said, keep an open mind, and it's all about connection.
So what's coming up for Be Single No More? Like, what events are coming up, and what can people look forward to?
We have a gay men's speed dating every month. We do LGBT. So in April, there'll be a gay men's speed dating. Check Be Single No More, you know, .eventbrite.com, Facebook, Instagram, besinglenomore@gmail.com. You can always add yourself, you know, say you'd like to be added to our email list. You know, so we're everywhere on social. I'm happy to add you to my email list. And yeah, we do lesbian speed dating, speed friend, LGBTQ plus speed friending. I offer dating coaching sessions, and we're going to be happy. Yeah. So April, May, just keep going. Every week we do a bisexual speed dating. So every week there's usually something going on. So check our calendar. And
absolutely. Absolutely. And when I upload this episode, I'll put like your most recent, your upcoming events in the description, so that people can get a quick link right there to just to see Be Single No More, and maybe they can visit. So thank you so much, Susan, for coming on and enlightening us with your wisdom and telling us about Be Single No More. I know I am definitely going back I'm doing speed dating with a new attitude.
Yeah.
I need to find a hetero speed dating, because it seems fun.
Yeah, we offer those too. I try to do an event for everybody. You know,
do you do couples too?
So if it's, so keep looking. Yeah. There's always an event. Even people that are in relationships, we do the speed friending. So like, even you don't have to be single to come, you know, to come to the speed friending event. Right. You can do it with your partner and go together and meet other couples or friends, or separate, because some people want their own friends too.
Yeah. And I think that would be good for maybe you and Carlos.
Yeah. For sure.
It's hard to meet other couples. You know, you know, it's to that. That's something I learned a lot our night out. You know, there are a lot of couples, and they want to meet other couples, and you know, that's why I wanted to offer that. It was actually a recommendation from one of my attendees that said, "Why don't you do a speed friending? Not everybody, you know, wants to date right now, or maybe just wants some connection going on here and likes the concept." So, but great meeting all of you. This
you
was too. A lot of fun.
So
fun.
You too.
And remember, until next time, if you have no one else,
you got us.